Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 9th of December. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. Nice to be with you.
Glad you're with us. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
I am just here to look pretty, meaning thank goodness it is not a video podcast.
All right. Well, Charlotte, I would like to start with you. We had a second announcement yesterday that doesn't seem to be getting the attention I feel it should, which is we finally have a date for Fitness Plus.
Yes, December the 14th, just in time before you eat all the Christmas. It's yes. That's when Fitness Plus, which we heard about, I've lost track of which event was which, but we heard about it at one of the three, either the October or November.
Yeah.
Apple event. Oh, wait, was it? It might have actually been WWDC in September. Honestly, I've slightly lost track of those events, but we heard about
it. No one
knows
anymore. It was the watch one because it was, this is how awesome your watch is going to be, I believe.
Let's go with that.
That is correct.
Yeah, let's go with that. It's as you've hinted, it's totally based on the Apple Watch. It's a kind of studio style workout app. It's a subscription service from Apple. I'm pretty excited about testing it out. Actually, I have been intrigued when it was going to be released, because we heard at that event we were kind of expecting it possibly a few weeks ago, based on the language that was being used by the Apple execs. And whatever has happened, it's held it back a bit. I don't know if they wanted to release it with the headphones so people could, like, right, I'm going to buy some new headphones and do the workouts. I don't know. That's presumably why you bought the headphones, Brian, right?
I'm sure. Yes.
I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. I need the spatial audio while I do my intensive workouts.
That's what I figured. So it has all sorts of different workouts on it. So if Brian fancies some high intensity interval training or some yoga, Brian.
No, I listen. I love the idea of Fitness. Like, this is something I will probably subscribe to and then not use. I will subscribe to it with, like, all these grand intentions and I'll turn it on once and then I'll realize that it involves, like, you know, like bending and moving and stuff. Then I'll go back and sit down at my desk again.
Part of what I'm excited about is that it goes in with the watch stuff that I'm already doing. So, like, Brian, how much of the watch stuff, like how much watch workout and, you know, stand up at 10 to the hour and all of those sorts of things are you normally doing?
I think my current move streak is 167 days, but I'm going to be honest, that does involve quite a few hours of still sitting at my desk and then waving my arm around until I get
Brian.
The little notification. But listen, I justify that because I am at least moving more than I would have been otherwise.
Brian, it's only yourself you're cheating.
This is correct. This is absolutely true. But the thing is, and I realize that I'm, you know, partially comic relief in this particular conversation, but I also fear that I am probably not representing an audience of one.
Oh, absolutely not.
I suspect you're right. Fitness Plus is $9.99 a month or $7.99 for the year. It's also part of the top tier premium plan of the Apple One bundles, which is $29.95 a month, as we've outlined on other shows and in articles. That also includes music, TV Plus, arcade, News Plus, 2 terabytes of iCloud storage, and you can share among
And your whole house, yeah.
Among six, yeah. So with 5 other people, 6 family members.
Yeah.
All very good. So I am quite looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons is, so I, you know, one of the things from sort of March that was just the thing I didn't do was, for obvious reasons, was go to the gym. It's one of the things that seems like an easy, relatively easy thing to compensate for in other ways. Mm-hmm. And I could, you know, take out of my kind of risk factors and vectors even when they reopened.
Sure.
So home, you know, different ways to work out at home have been of interest to me, whether it's, you know, cycling on a road bike, walking, you know, walking, mm-hmm. doing yoga, you know, there's so many yoga YouTube channels, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And as we've discussed, I got an Apple Watch, and part of that was, again, the same kind of reasons I wanted to do a home workout type thing.
Yeah.
And it's definitely changed my thinking a bit about, you know, the pace I'm walking if I go for a walk or something like that. So all good. So I'm quite inclined to get involved in this. I'm slightly concerned I'll also be the type of person that starts with good intentions and falls off the wagon. Like, I'll be the person that joins the gym on January 3rd and then by February 3rd isn't going anymore.
Right.
And that is essentially what I was self-effacingly, you know, describing for myself. It's something you start with good intentions.
I was going to say Brian admires your resolve for making it a month.
I am hoping that this will be something that I can get into.
Me too. Yeah, I mean, this has appeal and use to me. I wish I could do it on my TV, but my phone or iPad will be fine. Mm-hmm. I think it works.
Wait, can we not do it on our TV?
I think
through Apple TV.
Charlotte doesn't have an Apple TV.
Definitely do it through Apple TV, and I guess AirPlay would also work.
Yeah.
Surely AirPlay would work.
Yeah.
So I
like how this is a really nice way to put the watch front and center. I thought this was sort of a creative piece of it, was putting the watch front and center, but in this case specifically, the sidekick device to your watch is your phone or your iPad or your TV where the class is happening. But the point of it is to, you know, have the workout on your watch and counting all the data on your watch and all of that. And I thought that was kind of a nice idea. It's just another way that Apple's trying to get into the fitness space. And it's less expensive than Apple Music. Like, I pay for Apple Music annually, and it's $99 a year if you pay for a year. And this is going to be $80 a year for a year, $79.99 for a year.
Yeah, or chuck it in with your Apple.
Right, or
it might be the thing that makes the Premier plan worthwhile to you, for example.
Yeah.
So just a couple of bits to like lay out where you can get it and what you can use it on. So mm-hmm. Fitness Plus is going to be available in Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, the UK, and of course the US.
Makes you wonder why it's not available everywhere. Like, what does it need to be?
So my guess is that all the presenters and the trainers are speaking in English, because the list is all English language.
That would make sense.
Yeah,
that would be my guess.
Fair enough. Yep.
And then you may expand to, you know, native languages from other places. Okay. You know, a French trainer who is a native French speaker doing classes mm-hmm. in French, for example.
Yeah, and it turns out there's more people that speak Chinese than English.
Or that.
that too.
Yeah.
It works on the Series 3, Apple Watch Series 3, and that's paired with the 6S or later. Obviously works mm-hmm. with the iPhone SE. With watch, you need watchOS 2 and iOS 14.3. You can use it on an iPad Pro or iPad 5th Gen later, Mini, iPad Air 2. So all the, like, basically devices that Apple will still sell you it works on, mm-hmm. Including the TV 4K and TV HD. And here's a cool thing. So one of the features that they made quite a big deal about during the presentation, if I recall, was the way it integrates with music. Mm-hmm. And you can put your own playlists and all that kind of thing. But you do not need an Apple Music subscription to access that, which is kind of cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's an unusual move for Apple on that.
Well, I suspect the actual answer is because most people will access this through a bundle of... and so by definition, they'll have Apple Music anyway. So playing nice doesn't make that much difference.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to dig more into bundles. We're going to do that in a minute. Charlotte has an interesting idea to discuss there. But first, I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and help match you with your own licensed therapist. You can talk to BetterHelp's counselors safely online, and you can get started with them in under 24 hours. This isn't a self-help plan or anything like that. It's professional help from licensed counselors. And BetterHelp wants to make sure that you have a therapeutic match, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need to. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, or you can set up a confidential appointment via video or phone, and you don't have any weird waiting room awkwardness or anything. You can talk to a counselor who specializes in they have a long list of issues, including depression, LGBT issues, grief, anxiety, trauma, and others. As my listener, you can get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/TDO. That's BETTERHELP.com/TDO. BetterHelp.com/TDO gets you 10% off your first month of counseling. And we'd like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring the show today. Now, Charlotte, you have a...
Can I just say, while you were reading out
yes.
that ad for very worthwhile service, I was just stuffing my face with chocolate, and that's totally undermining what we discussed in the last segment of the show.
Well, thanks for that. Let's talk about another thing that has come across your desk, Charlotte, which is a slightly different subscription model from Apple. Potentially. Like, this isn't a thing that's happening, but...
So, yeah, it's not a thing that's happened, but a couple of, I guess they're investors over at Loop Ventures, Gene Munster and David Stockman, have had a look into whether Apple could offer what they describe as a 360-degree bundle, so it would include services and hardware. Mm-hmm. And basically, they came to a conclusion is that Apple is pretty much the only company that could pull this off, and certainly could pull it off with relative ease.
Sure.
So a couple of things stood out to me, actually, when I was reading through this. The first was that 55% of Apple's revenue is already subscription, can be accessed by subscription anyway, which is a pretty amazing statistic when you think of it. That's not to say 55% of Apple's revenue comes from subscriptions, but you can access 55% of the things that generate revenue from subscription is how I understood that.
Okay.
There's already the annual upgrade plans for iPhones, which I think Brian is a signatory, so I'd be interested to get his take on this. Mm-hmm. And also, us terrible millennials and those youngsters in Gen Z apparently have a rent versus buy mentality. We're much more comfortable because we've never been able to afford anything, renting stuff and giving it back. We don't need stuff for 5 years. We'd rather have the most recent thing and not own it.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on there that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, and the obvious comparisons are Google and Samsung. So Google devices apparently decline in value at a faster rate to Apple's, and Samsung's product lines lack integration between its hardware and software. So suddenly the Apple ecosystem really pays dividends again.
Interesting. So Brian, yes, as a hardware subscriber, how does this sound to you?
If I didn't need it for my job, I wouldn't be a hardware subscriber. So I don't know that my answer is all that pertinent.
Okay. I'm currently not a hardware subscriber. But to me, this definitely sounds like an interesting idea.
It is. I do like having the latest greatest, and I apparently am okay with essentially renting my device for a year and then sending it back and getting a new one. So yeah, I'm sure end up doing it because I would rather do that through Apple than through AT&T,
sure,
which is where I'm currently doing it because I feel like I'm locked into AT&T and I'm paying way too much money for my service essentially to be on the next plan.
That's a really interesting point, actually, how this works. Like, it's okay if it's an iPad and it's a non-cellular iPad and you get the iPad from Apple and in 12, 15 months you give the iPad back to Apple and they give you a new iPad. Mm-hmm. But Brian's point about the relationship with a network, I think, is a really interesting one. And I hadn't thought about it before, but actually navigating that and negotiating that, I can see being the biggest impediment to such a thing pulling off. Although, of course, you can buy SIM-only deals and stuff, so it's not impossible.
Yeah. But we've definitely seen, like, Apple has sort of, I think, Brian, we've probably talked about this at various points, how Apple sort of forces innovation on the mobile phone industry because Apple decides they're going to do a thing, whatever that might be. The first one I remember is attaching a photo to a text. I remember that because they announced it and AT&T's network wasn't ready for it like anywhere. So it was really hard to attach
a thing.
No, not on a smartphone, like not from an iPhone. You couldn't attach a picture to a message to a text.
Whoa.
You guys
lived in crazy times.
We did. There was a point when you couldn't even send anybody text messages from your phone. And it was like chained to the wall. I'll tell you stories. They'll curl your hair. it's interesting to me how this is another way that Apple could route around the mobile providers. So like in that way, I'm sort of automatically for it because it never seems like the mobile providers are doing anything very customer friendly when they make big decisions. So like the only time it's ever really customer friendly is like, we're doing this nice thing for you and now it's going to cost you another $10 a month. So I'm definitely interested in what this could look like going forward. So I mean, if I could do it from Apple and it was something relatively reasonably priced or something, like maybe I'd become a hardware subscriber. Like I'm not now, but maybe I could be. We'll have to think on that.
What's the right price, though?
That's why I'd have to think on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're only going in for only a year's relationship with that device. Like, you can't, you know, that would definitely have to change the pricing on the hardware. So
it also obligates Apple to update things
on the regular,
like in a meaningful way every year.
Sure.
It surely couldn't be annual upgrades.
Yeah, like phone. Maybe it would be, yeah, maybe it's every two or something. I don't know. So, yeah, let's see. We'll have to see how that shakes out. It's definitely an interesting idea. And if you have ideas about this, if you are a person who would absolutely sign up for an Apple 360 bundle instead of just an Apple One bundle, or if you're excited about the bundles or you want to talk to us about Fitness Plus or you have questions about any of these things, absolutely let us know. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and by leaving comments in the show notes. So I want to thank both of you for being here today. Brian, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
And Charlotte, host of the Shiny New Media Plus podcast, thank you so much for coming by.
Yes, there's a new episode out. Some guy called Jeff Gamet's on it. Don't know what he's done before, but we have an interesting discussion about the future of the movie theater.
And sounds streaming. Sketchy. All right. Yeah, you should definitely check out Media Plus, and especially if Jeff's on it, you know, it's going to be a good time. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there. We'll be right back.